prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back. Thanks to those of you who stayed with us through this technical difficulties. We're actually starting the show about 8 minutes late. The show will actually go 8 minutes longer today as a result of that complete system crash right before the show was supposed to start, but we recovered. We have a great show planned for you today. During the first half hour, we're going to be joined by Dr. Jeff Galini for Science for Humans. We're going to talk about calcium. In preparation for the show, I learned some really interesting things about calcium I never knew, and I promise it's probably going to be an interesting show for you as well. Then we're going to be joined by Alex Leaf, our news director, to talk about recent research that shows if you want to avoid death, start exercising now, if that's not a good enough reason to start exercising. Then at the top of the second hour, we're going to be looking at a paleo meta-analysis. Does the paleo diet really do anything beneficial for metabolic risk factors? We'll be talking about that. Real quick, we still have the secret word contest going on. There's a new secret word this week. There's new prizes this week. It's $140 worth of Live On Labs products. So listen for the secret word during commercial breaks. Email it into onair at superhumanradio.com, and you are entered to win. And now, without further ado.
This is Science for Humans with Dr. Jeff Galini.
How do you like that, Dr. Jeff, huh? I mean, literally, we were right, ready to go on the air. We were 2 minutes out from going on the air, and everything just crashed.
Well, you know what they say, man, on any given day, right?
Yeah, but we bounced back pretty quickly. I learned the lesson. I tried to do a restart, and you can't do a restart on the server. You must shut it completely down and restart it from scratch to get all the drivers to launch. So we learned that lesson today. Thank you very much for that. How are you, Dr. Jeff?
You know, I'm doing great. It was a nice, brisk morning, but doing good. How about you, Carl?
Good. I'm doing really good. I had two nights of great sleep in a row. I think I finally unlocked what has been... First thing I did was I got rid of that darn CPAP machine. That thing was smothering me at night.
Really?
Yeah. It's gone, but I'm going to do a whole show about this because I think I've unlocked some factors that will help a lot of guys out there get a better night's sleep. When I sleep good, I get into the gym. I'm like King Kong. When I don't sleep good, I get into the gym. I'm like Maid Marian. I just can't get it done.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm the same way, you know, always looking for a better way to get a good night's sleep.
Yeah. Have you been training, Dr. Jeff? Are you back in the gym at all?
I have. You know, I've been doing pretty good. I'll tell you, ever since I went off that gluten, feeling really good.
Isn't that amazing?
You know, I feel like I'm absorbing, you know, my protein's better. I'm actually starting to grow and being able to kick it up a little bit. So, feeling good.
I have to imagine that you'll be able to put on muscle very quickly because of the whole, what I like to call the Casey Viator phenomenon, you know, where he lost all the weight and then he put all that weight back on for that ad
real quick.
I mean, I got to believe that you'll blow up real quick if you just train and eat consistently. Okay.
You know, and that's really what's happening. You know, I've been quite busy, so trying to get a little more consistent with my eating, basically increasing my calories. But my body weight is staying the same, around 225. But I'm noticing, my body fat is coming down, and my strength is going up. So that's always a good sign.
Yeah, very, very good. And obviously, we're going to talk about something today that rolls into this whole discussion about strength, especially, and that is the element calcium. Correct.
Correct. You know, we kind of finished our vitamin series, and I thought, you know, now we've got all these wonderful minerals, so what a better one to start with than calcium. Very interesting mineral. You know, I think most people have heard of calcium, but never really probably thought about the fact that it is a metal, you know.
I was shocked. I was shocked when I read that. I was like, what?
Yeah, you don't, you don't think about these minerals actually being heavy metals. In its raw form, it's soft and gray. It's alkaline earth metal, and it's the fifth most abundant element by mass in the Earth's crust. It's also the fifth most abundant ion that's dissolved in seawater. So it is quite readily out there. You know, we'll talk a little bit, how do we get that metal, you know, into what we ingest as a supplement later on. But I wanted to kind of touch on, you know, the fact that calcium is also the most abundant mineral in our body. And it's required, you know, for the formulation of our bones, for healthy bodily functions like muscle contractions, blood clotting, a strong heart, helps to regulate blood pressure. And I saw a couple studies on, you know, curbing PMS and even maintaining a healthy weight.
Well, let's not forget strength.
Yes.
The thing, you know, a lot of people don't realize this, but part of the reason anabolic steroids make you so strong, part of it is neural, from a neural excitatory effect. But the other part is because of the way it modulates calcium channels in muscle fiber. And calcium, the calcium channel is what makes muscle fibers contract.
Absolutely. I mean, that's kind of the firing pin, so to say, you know, for that muscle to contract properly. Excuse me, you need calcium. Very, very important.
So, where I mean, obviously, where do we get our calcium from? Is it just, do you have to supplement with it to get it, or is it something that we get plenty of in food?
You know, it is quite readily available in food sources. You know, being that it's, you know, it is the fifth most abundant in the soil and in seawater, you know, as we grow things, it comes up into those plants. But dark leafy greens, you know, very, very high in calcium. Any of your low-fat or fat cheeses, you know, milks, yogurts, tofu, all very, very high in calcium. Even some of the milks, you know, are calcium fortified. Cabbage. A lot of people don't eat cabbage anymore. I like cabbage.
I love cabbage.
Yeah, bok choy, cabbage, good sources of calcium. And then you get into things like okra, broccoli, green snap peas. And then my two favorite that just keep coming up and up and up. I almost think almonds are like the miracle food.
Yeah, isn't that something?
I mean, they contain calcium also. I mean, so quite abundant. And, you know, 264 milligrams in 100 grams of almonds,
wow.
Which I don't know. Maybe
three
ounces, a quarter ounce or something, you know?
Yeah, a little more than 3 ounces, really, is what that is.
And then most fish, you know, high amounts of calcium. So, you know, pretty easy if you eat a well-rounded diet, you know, of good leafy greens, you have dairy, you eat fish and almonds, pretty easy to get that calcium, unless you go out and drink some seawater, you know?
There you go. You know, I was really surprised in preparation for the show. Every morning I generally have 6 eggs and 2 cups of cottage cheese, and I make the eggs like a frittata, you know, like a, and then I fold it over like an omelet, and I put the cottage cheese in the middle. And so I thought, I wonder how much calcium I'm getting from my cottage cheese. And it's only, 100 milligrams per half cup. So I'm only getting 400 milligrams of calcium in that breakfast meal in the morning. I thought I was getting a lot more than that.
You know, and so did I. And I, after getting ready for this show, you know, I discovered, boy, I got to take a little more calcium. Again, you know, we just don't think about these things. You know, as we've been talking about, we're so interested in the next newest item that's going to save the world, you know, and we forget about, you know, how our body works and how important, you know, minerals are to normal functioning. Now, calcium is one that's more talked about, but I think most people believe that calcium is only important for older women. But, you know, that's not true. Everybody needs calcium.
You know, what I'd like to do, I know we kind of did this backwards. I'm sorry, I was a little off my game here with that. What happened. We talked about food sources of calcium. What I'd like to do is take our break now and come back and talk about some symptoms of deficiency. And then also about supplementation, because there's a lot of misinformation about supplementation, and I think supplementation should be based on your lifestyle to some degree, and some other factors. So we'll get into that a little bit later. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
All right. So sit tight. We'll be right back with more Science for Humans. We're talking about calcium. Stay tuned.
Not a
properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide. The secret word is probiotic. Email that in to onair@superhumanradio.com to be entered for this week's secret word contest. And good luck.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date, now available in two great-tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SuperhumanRadio to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today. Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See eye drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find Can-See eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. Can-See eye drops. The name says it all.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Girl, shake that lovey-dovey.
Welcome back to Science for Humans with my co-host, Dr. Jeff Gallini. So, Dr. Jeff, are the symptoms of calcium deficiency easily observable?
Some of them are.
Sorry about that.
So, hey, that was some good tunes there. Yeah, some of them are very, and there's quite a long list. Again, you know, the more important a substance is, the more symptoms you are. But, you know, muscle cramps, aches, you know, in the muscle, pain in the muscle, muscle spasms. Again, we always associate this with potassium, but it's actually more prominent that you are deficient in calcium. I know that in the past I'd wake up and my muscles were just twitching, and I never knew what that was, but that also is kind of a calcium deficiency.
Wow.
And you were talking about insomnia. Well, calcium. So I am going to start taking me some calcium at night. Tooth decay, you know, weak bones, which are things that I think most people have heard about. You know, reduce bone density. There's quite a few things for children. You know, calcium is more important. Well, I shouldn't say more important, but very important, you know, for childhood adolescence. Because even though rickets aren't very broad here, that is one of the causes is a calcium deficiency. Children who have poor growth, delayed puberty in teens, menstrual problems in teens, premenstrual cramps, and the list goes on, you know, increased blood pressure. And then here's some things that I didn't know about, but if you have coarse hair or brittle nails, that's calcium.
Really?
And then easily fatigued, you know, where you just kind of start walking and you just run out of gas. You know, your muscles, they're just not firing. You know, it's kind of like in your car, you know, your plug's just not being synced up right. You know,
right,
you just run out of gas. So pretty important stuff, Carl.
We've done shows about minerals in general, but the irony is that a lot of the symptoms are similar. So, you know, we talk about muscle cramps, right? You and I are both the same. We always say, oh, that's potassium, eat a banana. But it could be calcium, but it also could be sodium. I don't think anyone will ever forget Paul DeLay being carried off of the Night of Champions stage, I believe, in New York, when his diuretic protocol went wrong and he was so depleted in sodium he couldn't move. He became a statue of himself.
Absolutely. So, and, you know, calcium is just one of seven electrolytes. So, I mean, you know, any one imbalance is going to cause cramping.
I think that people just assume they're getting enough calcium. And on top of that, we've had some scaremongering in the past. And this is why I think calcium supplementation, which we'll talk about here in a moment, is very, very specific to your goals, your lifestyle, and so on. Because we had a lot of people saying 1,000 milligrams of calcium a day. But for inactive people, that may be too much. And for very active people, that may not be enough. So where do you stand on the whole supplementation idea? Obviously, there's plenty of food out there with calcium. It's in abundance. But you and I are both looking at our diet and going, wow, I may not be getting enough calcium because I'm a hard-training individual.
Well, you know, for kids, I think as, you know, kids and adolescents, you know, their body retains that calcium. So I don't know whether or not, you know, as long as they're drinking milk, they're probably getting enough. But the older we get, our body will actually steal the calcium that's stored in our bones and teeth whenever it needs it. And that's kind of why you get to that brittleness or you have all these osteoporosis and bone issues. But I think, yeah, you do need to supplement. Kids need to get about, you know, 1,200 milligrams a day. And most of them, you know, they're usually drinking milk and eating dairy and stuff, probably come pretty close to it. For reproductive years for women, you know, pregnant breastfeeding, I'm looking at about 1,300 milligrams. After that, you know, about 800. When we get into our 50s, we're looking at about 1,500 milligrams a day.
Really?
Yeah, now Dr. Chad Deal, who's the director of the Cleveland Clinic Center for Osteoporosis and Metabolic Bone Disease. That's a long name.
Yeah.
He published it, said, you know, our bodies just can't utilize a whole lot of calcium supplementation at one time. So he recommends that you take two doses, you know, no more than about 500 to 600 milligrams per dose. If not, you end up just wasting it, you know, excreting it out. So I think that's what I'm going to start doing, is I'm going to break my dosages up and take one in the morning, and then I'm going to see taking one at night if it helps improve sleep.
But, and obviously taking it with a meal, maybe your last meal, I have to imagine that helps absorption. What about the forms of calcium? So there's calcium carbonate, which is the least expensive form, and from what I understand is the least bioavailable as compared to things like calcium citrate and calcium what's the other one? Citrate and...
There's a lot of forms.
You've got glycinate. Calcium glycinate.
Glycinate. Yeah, yeah. Chelate. You know, I think everybody's body is a little bit different. Calcium carbonate is what Tums is made of.
Right.
You know, that carbonate helps to obviously buffer the stomach. But like you said, it's a very low form of calcium. You still get calcium in. Some say calcium citrate, you know, is more readily available, but then I've seen, you know, the same on other types of forms. I think you just got to find what works good for you. I'm not sure what form I'm going to use, Carl.
Calcium citrate.
Do you?
Yeah, and it comes in, it's 1,200 milligrams across two capsules, so I can take one some days or two some days and just supplement with 6 or 1,200 milligrams, depending on how my diet is that day and how much calcium I'm getting. But I'm starting to think that those of us who train really, really hard, we lift heavy weights, we're doing morning cardio. I mean, I'm up first thing in the morning on the treadmill, I'm doing my cardio. Those of us who train really hard, I have a feeling that we need more calcium, because I have a feeling that we're burning it up, and we're using it to make our bones stronger, to compensate for the strength in our muscles. We know that the chassis upregulates when the horsepower increases in the body. So as your muscles get bigger, your muscles actually send signals to your bones. You guys need to be stronger to handle the torque. So yep. I think that if you're a hard training athlete, I don't think it's unrealistic with dietary intake and some supplementation to get into the 1800 milligram a day range.
And I have to agree with you. And what you got to remember is, you know, most people think of the bone as just being some hard thing, but it's actually a living tissue that's constantly fluctuating. You know, you've got new bone being created and destroyed all the time. And like I said, you know, if you don't have enough calcium, it's required for muscle contraction. Your body will steal it from those bones. And again, you know, hard training athletes, you know, you don't want to have weak bones. You know, that's where you're going to run into a lot of your problems, you know, getting your disc out, and, you know, you name it.
Yeah, yeah. I think, and again, weakness. The one common thing in people who are deficient in calcium is muscle weakness, and that's because every single muscle fiber has what's known as a calcium channel, and that's what fires the muscle. That's what makes that fiber contract. So if you don't have enough calcium in your body, and some of your muscle fibers don't have adequate calcium to activate the calcium channel, you may only be working with half of the muscle power that you have available to you.
Yeah, and have you ever gone to the gym? I know I have, and it just feels like the gravity is stronger today. You just have no strength.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. I mean, yeah, you know, you might as well go, because you really just can't get much done those days, you know.
And don't forget about vitamin D with calcium, because it's very, very important that the calcium go where it belongs.
Absolutely.
And vitamin D enhances that anyway. All right, listen, anything else you want to say about calcium?
Just as usual, you know, I'm, as you mentioned, capsules. I really like capsules because, you know, you don't have all those binders and things.
Right.
But remember, you know, you can go buy calcium very cheap at the big wholesale clubs. And the reason why it's cheap is it's cheap stuff. You know, always go to a reputable health food store, somebody where you know that researches and has quality brands.
Very good point. Dr. Jeff, thanks a lot for struggling through the technical difficulties on today's show with me, okay?
Not a problem, man. We'll talk to you later.
All right, talk to you later. All right, thank you very much. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take one quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to be joined by Alex Leaf, and we're going to talk about why, if you want to live, you should exercise. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Do you
know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
You drink coffee, but do you know what's in your coffee? Pesticides, herbicides, unhealthy molds and bacteria. That's unless you drink NutriCafe. NutriCafe is small batch, certified organic Arabica whole bean gourmet coffee that's infused with an immune-supporting medicinal mushroom blend. NutriCafe tastes amazing because it's low acid and it doesn't cost any more to drink the world's best coffee. Roasted fresh every week in small batches. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the NutriCafe banner ad to learn more. There's only one NutriCafe organic medicinal coffee in the world. Why would you drink anything else? For the best in real world, no nonsense, result producing and effective strength training, muscle building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay, sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Do you want to take tennis lessons? You don't have to wear white or join a country club anymore. Play Your Court sends top-rated instructors to your local court so you can take tennis lessons right in your neighborhood. Visit playyourcourt.com/superhuman to choose an instructor near you and receive $10 off your first lesson or lesson package. If you have questions, call 301-575-6112 and be sure to mention Superhuman Radio to receive your first lesson discount. PlayYourCourt.com. Finally, a better way to take tennis lessons. Not all so-called deodorants are the same. Only Goodness Inside deodorant is a multi-benefit deodorant that's not only free of aluminum and toxins, but provides the body with nutrients it needs, like magnesium, pure dead sea salts, minerals, and vitamins.
I am a big fan of Only Goodness Inside, the MGDO Healthy Deodorant. I'm a businesswoman. I have to dress up at work. It goes on smooth, it dries quickly, and it never gets on my clothes.
Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Only Goodness Inside banner ad to save 25% off your order today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Sonic, wait up!
Welcome back. People are always looking for reasons why they should exercise. Most people want to exercise more because they want to lose weight. They want to have a six-pack. But what about avoiding death? What if avoiding death was one of the benefits of exercise? Could you motivate yourself with that idea? Well, that's exactly the subject of our next discussion with my news director, Alex Leaf. How are you doing, Alex?
I'm doing well, Carl.
So talk to me about this recent article that you wrote, Physical Activity and Death, the Potpourri of Associations.
So about 2 weeks ago, I had five or so different articles pop into my inbox, just fresh off the print from four different journals. And each one of them, amusingly, looked at a different aspect of the association between some type of physical activity and the risk of dying from all-cause and cardiovascular disease-specific mortality. And I thought they were all just such interesting little articles, and they all provided one little piece of the puzzle that when I started writing about them, they kind of all started complementing each other, and it just turned into this one post where one study started the whole thing, and then the other studies that were published within days of one another just kept building upon what these associations were showing.
So what were some of the associations that you saw?
Well, in the U.S., it's been estimated that one-third of adults spend at least 9 of their waking hours being sedentary, and two-thirds of adults spend more than 7.5 of their waking hours being sedentary every day. Ironically, the prevalence of overweight and obesity match those numbers almost exactly, where the obesity rates match up to the people who are sedentary for 9 waking hours, and overweight rates match up to the people who are sedentary for 7.5 waking hours. I personally don't think that's a coincidence.
Right.
And so the first study that I looked up was out of Australia, and they wanted to characterize the physical activity profiles of people and see how that affected their cardiovascular disease risk. So if you think about any typical person, they're generally going to fall into one of four categories. You have busy exercisers. These are people that are on the go all day, so they have low sedentary time, but they're also very physically active, so they would work out in the gym that morning before doing their all-day walking job.
So this could be like a mail carrier or someone who works in a job that's physically demanding, a labor job, right? But also goes to the gym in the morning, right?
Exactly. The next person would be what are called techno-actives. And this would be the person who would wake up in the morning, do their workout routine, and then be sitting the rest of the day.
Which is more like me because of the show. I mean, I end up sitting for at least 5 or 6 hours a day, but then the rest of the day I'm up and around pretty much, you know, moving about. So I would be a techno-active, right, me.
And then you have what are called potterers, which is a reference to gardening. And these would stereotypically be like stay-at-home mothers who don't do a heavy workout, but they are busy around the house all day. So they're not sedentary at all, but they're also not physically active. You know, they're just on the go.
Right.
And then finally you have couch potatoes, and those just don't do anything.
Right. That is a funny one, isn't it? Couch potato. Anyway. So what did they see? Were there very, very vast differences between these four groups?
Yeah, there were. So compared to the busy exercisers, couch potatoes and potters, both of them, had more than a twofold risk increase in cardiovascular disease risk. Whereas there wasn't any difference between the techno-actives and the busy exercisers, which is interesting because these classifications had similar amounts of sedentary activity. So, for example, the techno-actives had the same moderate to vigorous physical activity as busy exercisers, but they had far more sedentary behavior.
Right.
And yet their risk was the same. So this study supports the notion that sedentary time is important, but it's moderate to vigorous physical activity that's even more important.
That's promising. Because for a long time, since the whole inactivity-activity debate started some years ago, most of us who go in the gym and train really hard, I mean highly intense workouts, felt that we were somehow negating those workouts by then sitting at our desk at work, that may not be true.
Yeah, I... you know, I'll have people come up to me and when I talk with them about what they're doing for exercise, they'll tell me that they go for walks. And, I mean, depending on where you're starting from, that is excellent. You know, the biggest barrier is simply starting to do something. But what a lot of people need to realize is that walking and just being active around the house, gardening, whatever, it's not physical activity. It's not adequate. That isn't to say it's bad for your health, but there is a lot more that can be done.
Yeah. The word work comes to mind for me. If, you know what I mean? It's like everybody thinks that work is something different. To a guy who's a brick mason, work is really hard and laborious. To somebody who works at a desk doing at a call center, they think work is sitting there taking calls. And the reality is the amount of exertion that you expend in a given task really seems to be the most important thing. It's really interesting. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll talk more about this when we come back. Stay with us. We're talking with the Supreme Radio News Director, Alex Leaf. We shall return.
Titan Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date. Now available in two great tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
The secret word is probiotic. Email that in to onair@superhumanradio.com to be entered for this week's secret word contest. And good luck.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing and effective strength training, muscle building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to BrooksCubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to BrooksCubic.com right now.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LiveOnLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LiveOnLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high-quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Alex Leaf about an interesting article that's at superhumanradio.com if you want to read it. Talking about the relationship between exercise and mortality. So I'm an American, Alex, which you know what that means, right?
You live in America?
Yes, but it also means that if something, a little something is good, then a lot of something is better. So
yeah.
Should I just start exercising all day long and I'll live forever?
Well, you'd probably tire out before you do yourself any real damage, but no, you definitely shouldn't.
So there was a dose dependent curve here that you talked about in the article, right?
Yeah. So one of the studies from the National Cancer Institute looked at data on over 154,000 individuals and their exercise behaviors over the past 12 months. And their end goal was to see how replacing sedentary time with either moderate to vigorous physical activity or just activities of daily living, what they call non-exercise activity, would do for their health. And with regard to exercise, they found that the sweet spot was about 1 to 1.5 hours per day of hard exercise, whereas there was no limit for non-exercise activity. So what this means is you're going to get the most benefits with hard exercise if you keep it to 1 to 1.5 hours per day. But if you go for longer, then your risk of death actually begins to increase again. So it forms a sort of U-shaped curve. And when you're looking at non-exercise activity, you get the most bang for your buck again in that 1 to 1.5 hour range. But then the lines just kind of flat out, which means that you don't get more benefit if you do more activity than that, but you also don't do yourself any harm.
And that's important. So the takeaway of this is train really hard as you can, whatever hard is for you. Train really hard for an hour to an hour and a half maximum, and then make sure that you stay moderately active throughout the day, just doing the things that life makes you do, but also get plenty of rest.
Yeah. Exactly. And if you think about going for walks, like I use a Fitbit and I know you have one as well to track steps, even just walking at a very light pace of 3 to 4 miles per hour, that would be about 4 miles of non-exercise activity. That would be the equivalent of walking anywhere from 3 to 5 miles, depending on how fast you're going. And that takes time. I mean, if I added up all the time I spend going on dedicated small little walks to up my steps, I'm well over an hour of time that I dedicate to doing that.
Right. Right. And I have to brag a little bit about you. You get some crazy steps in every single week. I know we track you. I haven't worn my Fitbit in quite some time. I had to take it off for a while, because I had some other issues I needed to address, namely sleep. But you're always in like 20,000 steps a week.
20,000 a week? Well, that wouldn't be very good.
No, what am I saying? I'm sorry. You're getting like 15,000-16,000 steps a day on average, aren't you?
Yeah, my goal is for 10,000 steps, but I mean, I usually hit that by lunchtime. So I just try to be active. You know, I started riding my bike. When I go to do shopping, if I only need a few items, I'll just put them in my backpack. And I will walk to anywhere that's within about a mile, as long as, again, I don't need to transport anything heavy. So I've just been making an active effort to use my body as a transportation mode.
Now, when you did this research for this article, did it change anything about the way you were training or the way you looked at your training and your activity? Because I know you were a huge proponent for, you know, standing more often, but then you wrote an article about whether or not it was even worthy of standing more often. A lot of these things that you're doing, I feel like, are also things that are helping to sculpt and shape your own decisions about activity, inactivity, and longevity.
Yeah, well, it's a complicated topic, and I don't think we're going to come to a consensus anytime soon. But that's the whole point of having science out there, is you use it to continuously adapt your own beliefs. You know, I'm not going to get stuck in some just narrow-minded dogma. I'm always looking to criticize myself and find where I can improve. And with articles like this, it actually just kind of reinforced what I was doing, because I only train hard in the gym about four times per week, and those workouts only last an hour maximum. I do very light cardio just to get my heart rate up and moving a little more, 2 to 3 times a week, and that's only for 20 to 30 minutes. And then every single day I'm getting usually about 12 to 16,000 steps depending on the day. But that isn't, I mean, I don't consider that hard activity by any means.
Right.
Ideally, in my world, that would be what everyone is able to do without a second thought.
The entire article is at superhumanradio.com. There's a lot more to the article than just the things we're talking about. But since we don't have a lot of time to address some of the other things in it, was there anything in this research when you were preparing to write this article that gave you an aha moment that made you go, wow, I didn't expect to see that?
I wouldn't say anything gave me an aha moment. I would probably say the most surprising thing is just how meaningful dedicated moderate to vigorous physical activity is. Because with all of the different blog posts out there and people starting to recognize how unhealthy sitting in a chair for long periods of time is, there's been a kind of focus away from training hard in the gym, more towards being active throughout the day. And what this article and the series of research studies included in it kind of reminded me was that being active throughout the day is important, yes, but having those dedicated, go as hard as you can periods does a lot more for your health.
You know,
and that can't be overlooked.
It's interesting because for a while there, it looked like people were trying to talk down. I'm sorry. Our next guest is on from Scandinavia, and she's Skyping with me at the same time about the length of the interview. It's almost, there was a period of time where people were actually trying to make it sound like very, very hard, strenuous exercise was bad for us. In fact, I don't remember what I read, whether it was a blog post by somebody related to a study or an actual study, but it was last year. That indicated that, you know, very strenuous exercise may actually shorten your life. And, I was very suspect of that writing. And I thought, you know, I just can't believe it. There's got to be more to it. And I would agree with what your findings are. Very strenuous exercise for an hour to an hour and a half, which seems to be what I naturally gravitate to. I set a timer at the beginning of every workout I do. And some workouts only last 35 or 40 minutes. The majority of them, I would say the average is an hour. The occasional one goes an hour and 15. I'm not restricting or limiting by time. I'm training until I feel like I'm done training. I know it's like I got nothing left in me to push on any further isn't going to be beneficial. And it's time for me to leave. And then I look at my time and I go, oh, I've been here an hour and 1 minute or an hour and 15 minutes or 47 minutes. That just works for me. And I think that the takeaway has to be that the harder you train, the shorter you should do it for. And if you're really training hard, I mean, if you're lifting heavy weights, you're heaving, you're challenging your body, like Lee Haney said, the goal has to be to stimulate, not annihilate the body.
Yeah, and what people need to remember is it's only with the heavy training is that you're going to stimulate adaptation. Moving around all day isn't going to force your body to become more efficient. You know, you need to, that's the whole idea of progressive overload in resistance training, is you need to have an educated progression system, and training heavy is the only way to force your body to say, oh, better build more muscle. Oh, better improve, you know, my cardiorespiratory fitness.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a great article. It's over at superhumanradio.com. You can read it in its entirety. It's got lots of great information that we're not even discussing here at this point in time, but it's worthy of your review. Alex, you've been really knocking it out of the park with some of these articles you've been writing.
Thank you.
Good job. Good job. All right, listen, and thank you for coming on today and talking about this, and we'll talk to you soon, huh?
All right, sounds good. Take it easy.
Take care. All right, we're going to take one quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about a meta-analysis that looked at the paleo diet and whether or not it actually provides some protection against metabolic risk factors. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned, and don't forget, listen for the secret word, and you could win $140 worth of Live On Labs products this week. The winner will be announced on Casual Friday. Just hear the secret word and email it in to onair@superhumanradio.com. We'll be right back.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Live On Labs. You too can benefit from Live On Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Live On Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. Phytoform has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now, you can take your vitamin D the way nature intends. Intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Paleo diet is very popular these days, but are there really any substantial benefits in its ability to mitigate the risks associated with metabolic diseases? That's what we're going to be talking now with my two guests right now. Esther Van Zuren, how you doing, Dr. Van Zuren?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
And Dr. Hanno Pill, how are you, sir?
I am fine. Thank you very much.
Yes, and thank you for your patience. We've had some technical difficulties today, and they were very nice to stick around for it. So let's start with this. What questions were you trying to answer in this research paper?
Well, what we try to answer is actually whether Paleolithic nutrition, and we're going to talk about this, what it exactly is, maybe a little bit later, but whether this nutritional pattern is actually beneficial for people with metabolic disease, and in particular people with something called the metabolic syndrome. And the metabolic syndrome is a cluster of metabolic anomalies that often go together and are associated with something that is called insulin resistance. And many people in the U.S., but also in Europe and all over the world actually have this metabolic syndrome. And we had reasons to believe that the Paleolithic nutritional pattern is actually beneficial for these people.
Now, this was a meta-analysis, which is basically where you take existing research papers that fit a certain criteria and you extrapolate from their data the information you're looking for, correct?
Right.
How many actual other studies were included in this in this research?
Well, we did an extensive search, but we focused on randomized controlled trial because they would provide us hopefully with the highest quality of evidence. And we found four randomized controlled trials.
And
we also looked at ongoing trials, and there are also some ongoing trials that will be published in the near future.
Oh, so you had access to those as well. That's pretty exciting.
Yes.
Okay, so how many individuals were in the entire cohort, if you will, a group combined of all of these trials?
Well, it was still, when you take them all together, it was still a rather small sample size. In total, 159 people were included in the four studies.
Okay. And what were the markers that you were looking for in these individuals that would somehow be affected by the Paleolithic template of eating?
Well, we looked at the five components of the metabolic syndrome. So that is waist circumference. We looked at blood pressure. We looked at triglycerides and fasting glucose. And did I forget one?
HDL cholesterol.
HDL cholesterol.
So the HDL cholesterol is one, is a, you know, a good and bad cholesterol.
Yeah.
HDL is the good cholesterol, and that is one of the components of the syndrome.
Okay. Okay.
Yes, so, and yeah. Furthermore, we also had as primary outcomes, quality of life. And we also looked at adverse events of the diets or side effects, however you want to call them. And we had, of course, also a number of secondary outcomes, but they are, I think, less interesting maybe for the audience to hear.
So all of these individuals, in order to be involved in this meta-analysis, they had to have already shown risk factors in these areas, and then they were asked to eat a certain way that is the paleo template, right?
Right. They had to have at least one abnormal value of any of these five components. That was an inclusion criteria, at least one. So more was also possible. But and what they should not have diabetes. You know, you have to know that the metabolic syndrome is a kind of pre-diabetic state. So people with the metabolic syndrome have a high risk of developing diabetes and cardiovascular disease, but they should not, you know, they were excluded when they had diabetes.
Okay. Now, who designed the template? Because there's some people in paleo who believe that dairy is acceptable, and there are other people who are staunch against dairy as an included in the paleo diet. Who actually created the template for these various RCTs?
Yeah. A good question. I know that there is a lot of discussion about what exactly is Paleolithic nutrition. Now, dairy is one of the things that we are pretty sure about, that people did not use dairy prior to, you know, the Paleolithic nutrition is basically what our ancestors ate prior to the advent of agriculture. And one of the components of Paleolithic nutrition that we are pretty sure about is dairy. Because we are virtually 100% sure that adult people never touched any dairy during their life, because dairy was something that children got from their mothers until they were three. Okay. And then, you know, the mother milk. And after that, people never touched dairy. That we're pretty sure, because we could not get dairy from wild animals.
Okay.
Now, so dairy is a thing that I am pretty sure about, that we never used.
Well, okay, so let me rephrase this. So right now there are a lot of things that people will eat and say they are paleo, mm-hmm. when they were not available during Paleolithic times. We have paleo desserts, paleo candy, paleo pancakes. So we have all these things that have become paleo. So I guess, because I noticed that in the research, there were some inconsistencies in results in some of the studies, which made me wonder what they were considering to be paleo in some of these studies that maybe they weren't in others, where they had, you know, to me, paleo is animal protein and things that grow out of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can confirm that all four studies that were included were pretty similar because they all excluded grains and dairy products.
Okay.
And all excluded processed foods, additional salt, additional sugar. So it was indeed meat, fish, fruit, and vegetables.
Okay.
And nuts.
And nuts, yeah. Sorry, nuts and seeds.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So, paleo pancakes, for example, I'm not sure whether a pancake can be paleo at all because pancakes usually, you know, they need some kind of processing. And the one of the basics of paleo nutrition, I think, is that it's unprocessed.
Right.
It's unprocessed.
Yes. Yeah. I agree. And that's what I was trying to get to the bottom of. If there were variations or people took liberties in some of these RCTs and said, well, this is paleo. You can eat this when it really, it's an acellular carbohydrate. It's no longer in its original form. It's not paleo
right.
any longer.
Yeah.
Okay. So
now,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
All four diets were quite strictly in what was considered to be paleo and were similar across the studies.
Did any of the RCTs let people go home and make their own foods and keep a diary versus actually prepare the food for them?
Yes, there was only one study where the meals were delivered at home. That was the study of Boers. That's a Dutch group. But all the others, people had got instructions from a dietitian. And, of course, they had some form where they can look at what they could make. And, of course, you're never 100% sure of the compliance.
Right.
But we took the first time point of all the studies where they saw the patients again, because we also took the shortest time point, because then you are most sure that people are still compliant. The longer a study takes, the more they think, well, I can have some chocolate today,
right,
or something like that.
Right.
And it's always the case with every diet that people are going to cheat a little.
And if I may add, this is the case with dietary interventions, but it's also the case with drugs, for example. Any drug study, you have to ask whether people do what they should do. Obviously, drugs are probably better, you know, medical drugs I'm talking about. Are more easy to take than a particular dietary pattern, but it's always an issue, compliance, and you never know whether people do what they should do.
No, I agree. Okay, so these individuals had certain risk factors, at least one risk factor. They stuck to what is considered a orthodox paleo diet. Mm-hmm. And they did this for how long? How long was it?
Well, the shortest study it was for 2 weeks. It was the Dutch study, and the longest was a study of 2 years. But we took the shortest time point was 6 months.
Okay, so yeah, that,
so
that
there
makes
was
sense.
A variation between 2 weeks and 6 months.
Were there observable changes in markers in 2 weeks?
Yes.
Wow.
And that's, I think, the very interesting part.
Yeah. You know, the study, the 2 week study was a study where the food was catered. The food was prepared and delivered at home for both the paleo intervention, of course, and the control diets. And after 2 weeks, they saw, clear differences between the groups, and that's pretty impressive, I think.
Here's what I like.
And this was the only study, if I can add, which was that the calories in both diets were the same, so we call that isocaloric. So even if people were losing weight in the paleo group, they got snacks that were paleo allowed, they didn't lose too much weight. So, yes. Well, all the other studies, people could eat as much as they wanted of the diet they were assigned to.
Okay. What I'd like to do is I'd like to go ahead and take a break now. And when we come back, we can start talking about the changes in the individual markers of metabolic disorder. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We're talking about a meta-analysis that looks at the effects of the paleo diet on reversing the markers of metabolic disease. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Best in real world, no nonsense, result producing and effective strength training, muscle building, and physical culture information. Read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now. If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
The secret word is probiotic. Email that in to onair@superhumanradio.com to be entered for this week's secret word contest. And good luck.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support, to weight management, to nervous system support, to detox and cleansing, and more. Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store, or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
You drink coffee, but do you know what's in your coffee? Pesticides, herbicides, unhealthy molds and bacteria. That's unless you drink Nutra Cafe. Nutra Cafe is small batch, certified organic Arabica whole bean gourmet coffee that's infused with an immune-supporting medicinal mushroom blend. Nutra Cafe tastes amazing because it's low acid, and it doesn't cost any more to drink the world's best coffee. Roasted fresh every week in small batches. Batches. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Nutra Cafe banner ad to learn more. There's only one Nutra Cafe organic medicinal coffee in the world. Why would you drink anything else? Not all so-called deodorants are the same. Only Goodness Inside deodorant is a multi-benefit deodorant that's not only free of aluminum and toxins, but provides the body with nutrients it needs, like magnesium, pure dead sea salts, minerals, and vitamins.
I am a big fan of Only Goodness Inside. The MGDO Healthy Deodorant. I'm a businesswoman. I have to dress up at work. It goes on smooth. It dries quickly, and it never gets on my clothes.
Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Only Goodness Inside banner ad to save 25% off your order today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
This is the Superhuman Channel.
evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Esther Van Zuren and Dr. Hanno Peel. We're talking about how the paleo diet may be able to help people who are starting to develop some of the risks associated with metabolic syndrome. So let's talk about the different things that you looked at, things like triglycerides and blood pressure. Talk about these changes and over what period of time, and were they significant?
Well, for the five components, three of the five components showed a statistical significant difference. That was for waist circumference, so that's an important one, and it was both for systolic and diastolic blood pressure, as well as, which was the last one, which was, and the triglycerides was also a statistically significant difference. And for the other two, which I have not mentioned yet, that was the high-density lipoprotein cholesterol and the fasting glucose, it was a trend. It was favoring the paleo nutrition, but it was not statistically significant, just not.
Do you think that had you gone on, looked at longer out, there would have been more of a difference, since you kind of kept it to just that six-month period on the longer study?
Yes, well, it's always difficult. One of the limitations was actually still the small sample size. You always have a more reliable effect estimate, is how we call it, if you have more people included. And of course, indeed, the study design and the timing of assessment was different. So these were the limitations of these studies. So we need, in fact, we need larger studies with more similar time points where you are going to look at. It would be good if there would be more studies with more people that all would look at 2 weeks and 3 months or something like that.
No, and even longer. I think we need longer term studies to be sure that if you eat Paleolithic, in the long term, you actually have the same benefits. It might be, it might not be. We don't know.
Yes, we can only draw conclusions based on these four studies. And it would be, of course, very interesting to see if you can maintain this effect or not, or is it only a short-term effect? We just don't know. The conclusions we made are based on four studies, each with some limitations and short-term effects.
Was there anything surprising when you started to work with these numbers? Was there anything that jumped out at you and you felt like, wow, I did not expect to see that?
Well, we didn't expect that there would be statistically significant difference between the diet and the paleo nutrition and the comparative diet. It was a kind of quite of, I think we all four, the whole team, was quite excited to see that there were really statistically significant differences, because the other diet is, of course, are three of the four were guideline recommended diets. So international or national guidelines to promote healthy eating. So we didn't expect statistically significant differences. So it was just, well, very nice to see.
Well, to me, the most surprising thing was that actually all five of the components, three of them, as Esther explained, were statistically significant different. And the two others had a trend. And I was surprised that all five of them actually changed in the direction that is beneficial for people. So there was a decline of waist circumference, a decline of triglycerides. There was a decline of fasting glucose, although it was not significant. And there was an increase of HDL cholesterol, the good cholesterol. And there was a decline of blood pressure. So it was really surprising to us that actually all of these five components, showed a trend of improvement.
Did they look at, actual, C-peptide in any of these studies? Did they actually look at insulin production in any of these studies? Because fasting glucose in and of itself, I find to be a slow mover, even though things metabolically are improving.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There were studies that looked at insulin, and as this was a secondary outcome, actually, of our meta-analysis, and insulin showed a tendency to decline.
Yeah.
Fasting insulin level. So C-peptide, we did look at C-peptide. I'm sorry.
We looked at C-reactive protein, a secondary outcome.
Oh, I want to ask about that in a second, but I want to stay with fasting glucose just for a moment.
Sure.
In a lot of the research that I've read, when the diet changes, especially in research where low carbohydrate, high protein, moderate fat diets are imposed, we see fasting blood sugar levels not moving quickly, but we see less insulin being required to keep them at those previous levels. And then over time, the insulin sensitivity increases over throughout tissue. And then the fasting blood sugar levels seem to come down. They don't come down as quickly, but the insulin comes down very fast.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. The first thing that comes down is insulin. And then later on, glucose levels come down as well. So so that may be, you know, the fact that we only looked at the relatively short term may be an explanation for the fact that glucose did decline a little bit, but not statistically significant between the groups.
Dr. Van Zuren, talk about C-reactive protein, because this is a very, very important marker of inflammation. Chronic inflammation is a big problem today.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's true. And there was also a trend that it was lower in the paleo nutrition group, but it was also not statistically significant.
But again, there's a trend there. So one would think that if, as time goes on, perhaps it would, I know you can't say that as scientists, but I can say it because no one can take anything away from me.
We can only tell you what we found, so we cannot guess about it, you know, but I think this systematic review is at least promising and should make other people enthusiastic to further explore on the longer term. And what I personally think is quite interesting, because another secondary outcome was body weight. And there was also a statistically significant difference of almost 2.7 kilos in body weight in favor of the paleo nutrition. And I think when people are on a diet, it's always encouraging when you see you're also losing weight. And but that was also, from the secondary outcome, the only one that was statistically significant in favor of the paleo nutrition.
So do you think that these beneficial changes, I have an opinion, but I want yours because you're a scientist. Do you think that these beneficial changes were a result of the exclusion of grains in the diet, especially the C-reactive protein drop and the insulin dropping and eventually blood sugar levels? And do you think it was more that than anything else? Or you think it was just the whole gestalt? It was everything entirely.
Well, that's a critical question, an important one. You know, grains is something that there's a lot of discussion about grain cereal consumption, as you probably know, whether we consumed cereals prior to our agriculture. And I personally think that there is convincing evidence that humans consumed grains before that time, but only minor amounts, only very, very minor amounts, is my guess, my opinion. Now, the next question is whether grains are bad for us. And I think the jury is still out there. There are some indications, and I must say quite convincing indications, that grains can hurt us, can cause chronic inflammation. However, I think that the conclusive evidence, there's not, as far as I think, there's no conclusive evidence today. I think there need to be, studies need to be done there. One of the, you know, I'm not sure whether the lack of grains in this Paleolithic diet is essential for its metabolic effects, but it might be. And I know, I mean, this is a kind of,
speculating.
What I wanted to say is it's a kind of, how do I say it? It's in English. It's not a very courageous answer, but I think in my view, it's reality. We don't know.
You know, obviously there's an increased consumption of beneficial fats like omega-3 fatty acids, and the ratio of omega-3 to omega-6s. Some of that could mitigate some of the damning effects of grain. But I'm with you. I think that grains were emergency food. I think grains were not preferential. They didn't go and say, you know, we don't have to go hunt today. Let's just eat grain. Grain was what they ate when they were faced with starvation.
I fully agree. Yeah, I think so. I think so. You know, it's very hard to eat. The only way for them to process the grains was grind them.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And this is, it's not very tasteful, obviously, and it's hard to harvest wild grains. So I think, I totally agree with you. I think they must have eaten only minor amounts of grains. And then, you know, agriculture came and we suddenly started to eat a massive amount of grains. And I'm sure that this was not good. One of the main problems there was that the variability, the variation in our nutritional pattern was suddenly much, much less. 70% or even more in some cultures, in some communities of total calories was consumed in the form of grains.
Right.
Now this is, you know, it cannot be good for us. Cannot be good for us. I'm sure.
No, I agree with you. I completely agree with you. But what I wonder, I think it would also be interesting because of the controversy right now. The paleo diet, it gets laughed at by a lot of dietitians and professionals.
Yes.
You know, it's absurd. Dietitians, they say any diet that tells you to exclude an entire food group you should not pay attention to. But at the same time, those same dietitians are advocating a vegan diet. Well, Meatless Monday. I would love to see the paleo diet compared to the vegan diet.
Mm-hmm.
I know there was a good study. Dr. Cordain came on he's been on my show so many times, he actually has his own theme music.
Been in contact with him, of course.
Yeah, he's great. And Boyd Eaton has been on the show too a couple times. But anyway, Dr. Cordain sent me two studies that one of them I think was done in the UK. These were large studies, like 60,000 individuals where they looked at, omnivore diets versus vegetarian diets, and that the vegetarians did not fare any better than the omnivores as far as longevity and health outcomes and so on. I would love to see the paleo diet compared to the vegan diet, because I have a feeling that it will also do better than the vegan diet as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that humans, I'm convinced actually that humans are made to eat meat. I think humans are meat eaters, and there's genetic evidence for that. There's physiologic evidence for that. I totally agree with Lauren Cordain there.
Yeah.
However, there's one issue that I find very interesting is that I think we do not realize enough that the stages of life, of human life, require different amounts of different food composition. So I think when you're young, and you have to grow and you have to reproduce, you need protein. You need quite some protein. And then when we grow older, and we know that people in the Paleolithic era, they probably didn't grow older than than 60. And most of them actually died much earlier. So, but now when we grow like 50 or 60, protein may not be as good for us as when we are 20. So, and this is something that we have to realize, and we have to do more research.
I think there's scientific
indications that this is actually the case.
Why is that? I mean, I train very hard in the gym, very hard. I'm probably in a very small percentile of 57-year-old men who train as hard as I do and lift the kind of weight that I do. I consume anywhere from 200 to 275 grams of protein from whole foods every single day. I eat a lot of green vegetables. I eat a lot of healthy fats. Why is protein perhaps contraindicated for me?
Well, I don't know if it's contraindicated for you, because what you do is you prevent by eating healthy, by exercising a lot, you prevent tissue damage. You prevent your cells from getting damaged. Your proteins in your cells, the DNA in your cells, they tend to stay healthy. However, if you don't do that and you eat a lot of protein, you know, when you eat protein, this promotes the production of all kinds of growth factors.
Right.
And a very important one is IGF-1, insulin-like growth factor 1. And we know that high levels of insulin-like growth factor 1 are associated with cancer, for example. And this is probably because if your cells are damaged, and you when you grow old, your cells get damaged unless you live healthy, you know. And so when your cells are damaged and you have high levels of IGF-1, you don't want these cells to be stimulated to grow when they're damaged.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So that's why there is data showing that high levels of IGF-1 are actually associated with all kinds of disease. But when we're older, if we are young, we need this, you know, to grow and to reproduce.
So the sedentary lifestyle does not demand a lot of cellular turnover, and high protein diets will influence cellular turnover. And so what you're saying is, if the body is idle because it's not training hard, it's not creating a blueprint of what we want to do with this protein, it starts to wreak havoc and starts producing the wrong things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
I want to take another commercial break.
All right.
And when we come back, I want to talk about food combining for a moment, because this is something that has always interested me, but the people in the paleo community never talk about it. And then we'll wrap up the discussion about your research. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Super Human Radio.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenadrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenadrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenadrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date, now available in 2 great tasting flavors, tropic fruit and raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code Superhuman Radio to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
The secret word is probiotic.
Email that in to onair@superhumanradio.com to be entered for this week's Secret Word Contest. And good luck.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
Do you want to take tennis lessons? You don't have to wear white or join a country club anymore. Play Your Court sends top-rated instructors to your local court so you can take tennis lessons right in your neighborhood. Visit playyourcourt.com/superhuman to choose an instructor near you and receive $10 off your first lesson or lesson package. If you have questions, call 301-575-6112 and be sure to mention Superhuman Radio to receive your first lesson discount. PlayYourCourt.com. Finally, a better way to take tennis lessons.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
What up, y'all? Yeah. Soundtrack, what's poppin', baby? Woo. Y'all ain't know. I go by the name of Lupe Fiasco. Representing that first end.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Esther Van Zuren and Dr. Hanno Peel. We're talking about the realities of the paleo diet. I mean, there is some great evidence out there that it shows benefits in individuals who are developing some of the markers of metabolic disorders. Now, I know, Dr. Van Zuren, you wanted to also speak to the statement I made earlier that there are a lot of people out there who make fun of the paleo diet, acting like it's some sort of fad and there's no real substance to it. You have some opinions about that as well, right?
Yes, well, that was also one of the reasons why we wanted to do this review, because if people were comparing diets, always paleo was at the bottom of the list, like a kind of fancy nonsense diet with quite some fans, but it was not taken seriously. And I think with this systematic review, which was done in a very robust way, and we also used GRADE, that is to rate the quality of the evidence, which is also used in guidelines and in the U.S., in guidelines, as well as in Europe. We thought to do it all in a very thorough, methodologically sound and robust way. And we now found the evidence of effect and we found the evidence of benefit. It's still only based on 4 studies in a small sample size, but at least it is promising and it should encourage people to do more research to it. So it's for the first time that we really have evidence of effect and evidence of benefit. So all the people that are now saying, you know, that paleo is nonsense, we now have the evidence.
You hear that, Dr. Oz? Dr. Oz is the one who did that. He put people in a cage at the Bronx Zoo and made fun of them. You know, oh, we're going to feed you paleo. I mean, the caveman diet, everybody made fun of it. It was like, this is what we need to make fun of is dieticians telling patients who are full-blown diabetic that it's okay for them to eat cake and cereal and bread and all that. And I mean, it's like, those people should be considered carbohydrate intolerant for a period of time until they get their blood sugar stabilized. That's what should really be laughed at.
Exactly. I absolutely agree.
So one of the things that I always like to talk about that no one within the paleo community is talking about, and probably because it wouldn't sell many cookbooks. So I'm going to draw you, I'm going to create an imaginary scene right out of Dr. Daniel Lieberman's book, The Story of the Human Body, right? So a bunch of us paleos, we chased an animal until it became exhausted. It fell over and we killed it and we began to eat it. And then I looked over at you, Hanno, and I said, you know what would taste good with this? Some broccoli. Go get some broccoli. And then, Esther said, you know, I think also, some good, coconut would taste good with this. We didn't eat like that. We were creatures of opportunity. If we caught an animal, we ate that animal until the animal was gone. We didn't combine foods. No one in the paleo community talks about this. You know, we have a seasonality, availability of foods that doesn't exist anymore today. We have, one of the questions that I had, for Leslie Aiello when she was over at the Winogren Foundation, she said to me, well, look, apples aren't even what they used to be. An apple back in the day, it had no sugar. It tasted terrible. You know, we've selected our foods to be sweeter, to be bigger, to be more robust. So what about food combining? Why don't we just sit down and eat our fish? Then later on, maybe we eat some vegetables more like we would have when we were roaming around and grazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I must say that I follow you completely. Actually, I think everyone will agree that we never ever ate like we do today in our history. And one of the things that we do very differently is that we combine all kinds of things that we never could do that because it simply wasn't available. So, and also, one of the things that Aiello, Dr. Aiello told you is very true. I think, the apples are very different now than they were in Paleolithic times. So it's impossible. I would almost say to go back to Paleolithic times. You know, you are somebody who uses your muscle a lot, but in our society, people don't do that anymore. And one of the things that that people in the Paleolithic era did very differently was that they used their muscles all day long, And that's another important issue when it comes to when it comes to health. So there's I think it's virtually impossible to go back to how we live in those days. But nevertheless, it's something to consider.
I would love to see somebody take the paleo template, but instead of having someone sit down to a piece of grass-fed, grass-finished beef and some vegetables and some salad, just eat the beef at this sitting. And eat a lot of it. Go ahead and sit down and make this your entire meal. If this meal needs to be 600, 700 calories, make it 600, 700 calories of beef. Then later, have the salad. Then after that, maybe, you know, I mean, let's start to separate the food out and see what that does to the pancreatic response, the enzymatic response. You know, the body has to be much more thorough in breaking down, assimilating, metabolizing a single food than when you give it potatoes. It has to produce something to work on the starch. Beef, protease enzymes. Lettuce, you know what I mean? It's too confusing for the body.
Well, interesting in this respect is, for example, what I know about the Maasai. I don't know if you've heard about this.
Yes.
But the Maasai, they have very peculiar eating habits. They eat only, they drink blood. They,
of the animals.
Yeah.
Of the animal, of their cattle. And
right.
They eat a lot of meat. And that's the basis of what they do. And these guys are, they're moving all day. These guys are very, very healthy in terms of cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes. There's no such thing among the Maasai.
Right.
So yeah, it's interesting. I was very surprised to hear that, you know, because I'm a doctor, and I was taught that, you know, we all need to eat vegetables every day, and it's probably a very good thing. Don't misunderstand me to do that. But apparently, people can live without vegetables, virtually without vegetables, and be healthy.
Right.
If they are active, and if they live like the Maasai.
Yeah. Very interesting. So let's go back to the study. So what would you like both clinicians and lay people to take away from this most recent research you published?
I think that what our paper says is that people with the metabolic syndrome, at least one component of the metabolic syndrome, should try to follow let me take that back. I think, to be honest, I think we first need more research. However, so now what I'm telling you is not as a scientist, as a person. I think that Paleolithic nutrition is good for people with the metabolic syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
But strictly speaking, I think we need more trials showing that in the long term. Before we can adapt guidelines. I don't think that the guidelines should be adapted at this time. But it's important that our findings should encourage, Esther said that before, that should encourage scientists, I think, to do more research in the long term and to design studies with and without cereals, for example, with and without dairy. I'm not convinced that dairy is bad for us. Between the lines, I think that dairy has very good things. For example, yogurt and cheese have shown to actually protect against diabetes, I think.
Yeah.
So, I think, you know, these studies have to be done.
The problem with dairy and doing really good research on dairy is if you use commercial dairy, to me, it's a non-starter. There are so many things wrong with commercial dairy, pasteurization, mm-hmm. homogenization, the feeds that they feed the cows that are producing.
Yes.
I mean,
antibiotics.
In order to do real valid dairy research, we have to return back to before the commercialization of dairy, when dairy is being produced. Like I buy dairy. I drink raw unpasteurized milk I get from a Mennonite family. I'm a part of a cow share program. I own a share of the cow, so I'm allowed to drink the milk. That's the only dairy that I drink because I don't trust the stuff that comes out of the stores anymore. It's not good.
Mm-hmm.
So the results on that research, if you're looking at that kind of dairy, I wouldn't buy it. Let me ask you a question, Dr. Van Zuren. At the beginning of the interview, you mentioned, I think you used the word side effects, but were there any people who could not adhere to the paleo diet in any of those RCTs?
No, actually not. Actually not. Of the four studies, only Boers looked at it, that there were only, I think, one or two people who had some gastrointestinal side effects, which were not related or were supposed not to be related to the diet because they continued and these complaints went away, but everybody can have, of course, a virus or whatever.
Right.
So I don't think, I can't believe that the paleo nutrition would do any harm. There is no evidence that it would not be healthy. Man. But I think it is difficult for some people that are used to our society and to the availability of everything in the food stores to stick to paleo nutrition, but that's something else. You know, if you're going to friends, if you're going to a restaurant and you want, and you're telling them, I want to eat fully paleo, that might cause some problems.
Right.
But I'm quite convinced that it won't have any side effects at all.
Yeah. I don't think
so. That is my personal opinion.
Right. Well, I think we've covered.
Because it's natural. It's pure. It's all, health. Yeah. It is nothing, unhealthy about it. There's nothing processed about it.
No, I agree with you. Is there anything that we missed that you want to mention, Dr. P or Dr. Van Zuren?
I guess not. I think I really enjoyed the interview, I must say. I would like to thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you so much for opportunity. Yeah. And it was also nice to hear that you are so well informed about the topic.
This audience is the superhuman nation, the audience that this show will be on the air 10 years in November. And the people,
congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. The people who listen to this show, we, you know, I had Dr. Lauren Cordain on my show for the first time in January of 2006.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And actually, I have theme music when he comes on the show. If you've ever heard that country western song, I Was Country When Country Wasn't Cool. So we had somebody in production produce that song, but it says I was paleo when paleo wasn't cool. So, yeah.
Okay.
We've been talking about it for a long time. Listen, thank you, and thank you for your patience with all of the technical difficulties we had. Wonderful having you. Have a good evening.
Sure. Yes, you too. Have a good day. Thank you so much.
Take care. All right, so there you have it. The show that almost didn't happen. If you only knew. If you're listening to the podcast, it's all been edited out, but man, oh man. There's a lot of work that has to happen on this server after the show is over today. Thank you for listening today. Tomorrow's Thursday. We have our first hour will be, Physical Culture Radio with Brooks Kubik. We have a great show planned for you tomorrow. So please tune in then. And for those of you who stayed with us through the whole live show with all of the problems, thank you so much. We'll see you tomorrow.